Our study for this evening comes out of the Old Testament book of Judges. For the most part, Judges chapter 7. We'll be in about verse 1 through 22. This is an occasion in the history of Israel when the nation was oppressed by the Midianites, and they have been for a period of 7 years now, according to Judges chapter 6 and verse 1. We, of course, know the history of the period of the time of the judges. So oftentimes we see a cycle that is repeated over and over again in the lives of the nation of Israel. Where they have entered into the land and they have been faithful unto God, but as things have gone well, as they have flourished, as they have prospered, slowly they begin to turn away from God. Turning away from God to the point where finally He delivers them unto an oppressor in hopes that they will think about their situation and think about what they are doing, in hopes that they will turn back to Him. That's the period that Israel now finds itself in. Once again, it is oppressed, this time by the Midianites. But as they have begun crying out once again unto God, God is going to give them a deliverer. And He begins to raise up Gideon, and Gideon is going to be the judge whereby once again He will deliver His people and start that cycle all over again of faithfulness. And unfortunately, even as we know the history, eventually drift back into unfaithfulness and oppression once again. But nevertheless, we arrive at this time when Gideon is going to be their deliverer. In fact, God has come now to Gideon and He has given him this great promise. And you go back to Judges chapter 6 and verse 14, the Lord looked upon him and said, "Go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee?" Certainly a great encouragement here to Gideon to hear from the Lord Himself, "I am sending you forth and I will deliver you. I will use you as the judge, as the one that's going to deliver the people from this great oppression. Now go forth." It's going to be an encouragement to Gideon. And as we come into chapter 7, we recognize now Gideon has assembled his army. And he is ready now to go forth out into battle. But the army that's going to go forth on behalf of God and His people is going to be a special army. A special group of people, and they're going to be able to see it is not by our might, it is not by our number, and it is not by our power that God is going to deliver us, but it is in the power and the might of God. And I think as we look at the type of people that are sent forth on Gideon's mission, that compose that final group of people that make up Gideon's army, we begin to see something of the characteristic that we should have as God's army or God's people even today. Gideon now has assembled a mass of some 32,000 men. And God is going to say, "That's too much. We're going to whittle this number down until you're left with the people that I want you to have." And so first off, as you go to Judges 7, verse 1 through 3, God is going to show Gideon, "I want brave people." Already they have shown some bravery. They've come together. They're willing to go out and fight. They have assembled themselves together. And in verse 2, the Lord said unto Gideon, "The people that are with thee are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands, lest Israel vaunt themselves against me, saying, mine own hand hath saved me." You have too many. And I don't want them boasting in themselves. This is an amazing statement already. Gideon's army that is assembled here of 32,000 men is going against an army of the Midianites that are composed of some 135,000 men, according to Judges chapter 8 and verse 10. By the time this army is over, that verse tells us, there are only 15,000 left and 120,000 men had already fallen. If I do my math right, that sounds to me like Gideon's initial foe here is 135,000 people. There's over 100,000 more people that Gideon is going against, and God says there's too many. You go and tell the people that are fearful to go home. He says in verse 3, "Now therefore go to, proclaim in the ears of the people, saying, whosoever is fearful and afraid, let him return and depart early from Mount Gilead. And there returned to the people 22,000, and there remained 10,000. You have 32,000 men that are assembled, and Gideon says, if you're afraid, go home. And 22,000 pack up and go home. And you're left with 10,000 men. 10,000 against 135,000 people. There had to be a brave group of people that were left. God didn't want anyone going forth with an attitude of fear. He wanted people that were going to trust in Him. God had already assured Gideon of the victory. He had already said, I'm going to give them into your hands. They needed to trust in God. They needed to be a brave people, not because of their own might or their own power, but because they truly trusted in God. Do you begin to see the application for us today? We need to be a people also that will truly trust in God. A people that recognize even, yes, there's a great foe before us. There's a great challenge before us. But nevertheless, I am going to trust in God. I'm going to be a person of courage. Jesus says, I say unto you, my friends, be not afraid of them that kill the body, but after that have nothing more they can do. Luke 12, verse 4. Who are we more fearful of? Is it the world? Or do we have a proper respect and a fear of God? That we're going to serve Him, we're going to honor Him, we're going to trust in Him instead of fearing the world. We could go on and we could think about 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 13 through 14. Who is he that will harm you if you be followers of that which is good? But if you suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye. And be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. We're reminded as a people of God, we can have courage, we can take strength in Him. And so He says, who is he that will harm you? Who is it? If you be followers of that which is good. Even Jesus is going to remind us, as He did there in that verse, Luke 12 and verse 4. What can they do to you? Oh, sure, they take your life. They take your possessions. Take maybe everything you have in this life, but is that what is valuable? Is that what we're really seeking after anyway? They can't take your eternal reward from you. They can't take your status of a faithful Christian from you. They can't remove you from the hand of God. Fear not those things. And so the Hebrews writer will tell us, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Hebrews 13 and verse 6. Are we going to be a people of courage? If not, I'm afraid we're going to be a people that will not accomplish anything. He needed a group of people that were ready to go forth and that were also ready to give Him the credit. And I think of Matthew chapter 25. And you remember this, the parable of the talents, parable of the servants. And the master has given unto his servants various amounts of goods or money. He has now come to take an account, and the one that had five had gained twice as much. The one that had two had gained twice as much. And now the one that only had one comes before him. And we find that fear has crippled him because he hasn't accomplished anything. He says in Matthew 24 and Matthew 25, verse 24 and following, he that received the one talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee, that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not straw. And I was afraid, and went and hid thy talent in the earth. And lo, there thou hast that is thine. You see what fear has done unto him? Fear has crippled him. Fear has made him where he has accomplished nothing. And fear will do the same unto us. We're going to have confidence or trust, courage, as we go forth and do the Lord's work? Or are we going to be crippled by fear? Israel continues to be an example of that. Think back and remember, what was it that kept that first generation that has come up out of Egypt? What kept them out of the land of promise but fear? They said, we can't do it. 10 out of the 12 men that went into that land came back and said, they are giants. They have walled cities. They have great defenses. They have all of this great wealth. And we're so little. We're but as grasshoppers in their sight, and there's nothing that we can do. We can't go forth and take that land. I think we see in the 22,000 that pack up and go home somewhat of that same attitude. Not willing to trust in God, not willing to truly put their lives on the line because of that confidence they have in Him. But we can be the same way even today. We can fail to accomplish anything because we're too afraid to even try. Yet if we're serving in God's army, we need to have confidence and trust that we're going to go forth and we're going to do His will, knowing that He is in control of all things. And there's nothing that this world can do unto me that should turn me from that. So God wants those that are brave, those that have courage, even as those 10,000 that remained here in Gideon's army. We would probably look at that and say, now that is quite a match. 10,000 against 135,000? I think you already have too big of a challenge. God's going to say, no, you still have too many. You continue here, and now He's going to say, I want the alert. Let's begin in verse 4 of Judges 7. The Lord said unto Gideon, the people are yet too many. Bring them down into the water, and I will try them for thee. And it shall be that of whom I say unto thee, this shall go with thee, the same shall go with thee. And whomsoever I say unto thee, this shall not go with thee, the same shall not go. So he brought down the people unto the water. And the Lord said unto Gideon, everyone that lappeth of the water with his tongue, as a dog lappeth, him shalt thou set by himself. And likewise, everyone that shall bow down upon his knees to drink. And the number of them that lapped, putting their hands to their mouth, were 300 men. But all the rest of the people bowed down upon their knees to drink water. And the Lord said unto Gideon, by the 300 men that lapped, I will save you and deliver the Midianites into thine hand, and let all the other people go, every man unto his own place. Here God says, you still have too many. We need to shrink that number. I still don't want you to be able to say, by any chance you did this on your own. I still want you to give God the credit. And so here's one more way in which we're going to whittle down. Take those 10,000 men and watch them as they drink. And it seems there were two classes of people here. There were those that would go and dip just low enough to bring up water in their hand and bring it to their mouth and be able to lap like a dog out of their hand. And yet the others would go up upon their knees unto the water and dip down their head to the water so that they could may possibly drink more. And he says, those 3,000 that lapped with their hands, those the 300 that lapped with their hands, those are the ones you'll take. The others can go home. And I think it's possible in here, one attribute we see of those that are lapping, that are cupping up the water in their hands, those are the ones that are alert. Those are the ones that are in haste. Those are the ones that are ready to go forth at a moment's notice. You see, as they stay prone, as they stay upright and are drinking out of their hands, they're able to scan, they're able to see what's going on around them. I think that's possibly an attribute we can see from these 300 men. They are alert. They're ready to go forth. Nothing's going to distract them or catch them off guard. And that's the same type of attitude we need as we're serving in God's army even today. You see, we have a foe. A foe that doesn't rest. A foe that would love nothing more than to see our destruction. And so those that are going to serve in God's army also need to be alert. They need to be watchful. They need to be ever ready. We know, of course, that Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. He says, you have a foe that is ever before you. A foe that would love nothing more than to destroy you and to see you fail. And so it's one you have to constantly be on guard against. One you constantly have to be alert, watchful, ever seeing his tactics before you and evading them. Not just does he say you have a very capable foe that is against you, he is one that you can withstand. Unfortunately, in our world, we have too many that have bought into the lie that there's nothing that we can do. And yet, while we see Satan as a formidable foe in the New Testament, we also see him as one that can be overcome. Yes, he says in verse 8 that he is a roaring lion, but he says in verse 9, resist steadfast in the faith. It's something we can do. We can overcome temptation. We can resist temptation. Are we going to become sinlessly perfect? No. But that doesn't mean we just quit. It doesn't mean we don't put up any resistance. It doesn't mean that it doesn't matter what we do. Rather, he says, resist him. Steadfast in the faith. Are you going to make mistakes? Sure. But we have a correction for that, even as Christians. Simon the sorcerer in Acts chapter 8, he fails. Peter says, repent and pray. John assures us in 1 John 1:9 that if we confess our faults, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. We have an avenue, even as a New Testament Christian, for the forgiveness of sins. But he says, you resist steadfast. You have a foe. And so you be on guard, you be ever alert, you be watchful for him. Again, is that not what Jesus commanded us? We go to Matthew 24, verse 42 through 44, where he reminded us, watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come, but know this, that if the goodman of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched, and he would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. He's reminding us, you also be alert. You be constantly vigilant, ever watchful. We don't know what one moment from the next brings in this life. We don't know what temptations it may bring. At the same time, we don't know the end. He promises us, I'm coming again someday. Are you going to be ready? Are you going to be ready when death comes unto you? Are you going to be ready when Jesus comes again? He says, rather than worrying about when that day is and trying to predict it when he says, no man knoweth the day or the hour, he says, simply live faithfully unto me. Then you'll be constantly ready. You'll be alert and you will be watchful. And that's what God expected out of the armies of Gideon. It's what He expects out of His army even today as we fight a spiritual warfare. Now imagine, if you will, with me. 135,000 is your foe. You now have 300. And God is expecting you, with this 300, to go out and capture, destroy, overcome the Midianites that are against you. He says, though, in verse 7, by the 300 men that lapped, I will save you and deliver the Midianites into thine hand. There's a promise. There's no doubt. There is no wavering. God said, this is what I'm going to do. But there's one other qualification of these 300 that we need to see. And we need to see that they are an obedient people. Gideon is going to be encouraged. He is going to be strengthened, verse 9 through verse 14. God is going to allow him to go and see the fear that is within the Midianites, because they know here is the people of God. With that courage, with that strength, Gideon is going to go forth, but this is going to be far from any ordinary battle. Once again, God says, we're going to do it my way. Gideon, you have been assured of victory as you walk with the Lord, but we're going to do it His way. And so this army that goes forth of Gideon's, it needs to follow God's instructions. And it may not make sense to them. In fact, in militarily, to almost anyone, I guess, it just simply wouldn't make sense. The very fact that you have 300 against 135,000 already kind of sets you apart. And God sends them forth, and they're expected to do exactly what He has instructed them. He begins to tell them, in verse 18, He divided the 300 men into three companies. He put a trumpet in every man's hand with an empty pitcher, lamps within the pitchers. And He said unto them, Look on Me, and do likewise. And behold, when I come to the outside of the camp, it shall be that as I do, so shall you do. Gideon's been instructed of the Lord, and now he tells the army, You do exactly as I do, which is what God has instructed him. What's missing? I'm going to send you forth here, and what am I arming you with? I'm putting in your hands a trumpet, a pitcher, and a lamp. Gideon, where's my sword? Gideon, I thought we were going forth to fight. Gideon, I thought we were going to win. We're going to do it God's way. Verse 18, when I blow the trumpet and I and all that are with me, then blow ye the trumpet also on every side of the camp, and say, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. So Gideon and the 300 men that were with him came unto the outside of the camp in the beginning of the middle of the watch. And they that had but newly set the watch, and they blew the trumpet, and brake the pitchers that were in their hands. And the three companies blew the trumpets, and brake the pitchers, and held their lamps in their left hands, the trumpets in their right hands, to blow withal, and they cried, The sword of the Lord and of Gideon. And they would have thought, is this going to work? But yet this was how God was going to deliver their enemies into their hands. Verse 21, they stood every man in his place round about the camp, and all of the host ran and cried and fled. And the 300 blew the trumpets. And the Lord set every man's sword against his fellow, even throughout all of the host. And the host fled to the other cities. In verse 23, the men of Israel gathered themselves together out of all of Naphtali and Asher and out of Manasseh and pursued after the Midianites. Here they did it God's way, and once again they found themselves successful. They needed to review their own history only to find that that was always going to be the case. We oftentimes talk about the walls of Jericho. And again, you go forth and you do it God's way, and I've already delivered that city into your hand. God tells Gideon much the same thing. This may be a formidable foe, but you do it my way. I wholeheartedly believe, had Gideon changed it, had Gideon decided that won't work, I'm going to do it another way, or I'm going to need more people, they would have indeed failed. But they were going to do it God's way, and as long as they walked with Him, they were assured this victory. Do we not need to display the same type of obedience even today? That we have that same type of simple faith and trust in God, that I'm going to be obedient unto your will. Unfortunately, we have too many people in the world today that want to say, I want to do it my own way. Or I'll do it in some way that makes sense unto me. Or I'll give God as much as I want to, and I will tell God, be happy with it or leave it. Has God not instructed us? Has He not given us His will whereby He says we can enjoy an eternal life with Him in heaven? Are we going to question that, or are we going to walk in simple obedience according to His will? Jesus said unto those with Him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. Matthew 22 and verse 37. There's our first and great commandment. There's the idea that if we put God first and we say we're going to be obedient unto You and we truly serve You with all of our being, we're going to be faithful unto You. We're going to follow Your will instead of our own wisdom. Jesus says, if you love Me, keep My commandments, John 14 and verse 15. The idea there not as a little child, you do it My way or I'm going to go home and not play with you. Jesus says, if you truly love Me, if you truly love Me for all that I have done for you, that God gave us everything that we have. He gave us His Son, and His Son willingly died for us, not because He had to, but out of great love. If you really love Me in return, obedience is going to naturally follow. We're going to want to do His will. We're not going to see if we can find in here our own ideas and enforce them. We're going to go to His will, His book, say, I want to know what's right. I want to know how I can faithfully serve Him. This is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous. 1 John 5 and verse 3. But I want to notice one other thing, and that is, if we will do that same thing, even as Gideon's army went forth and were successful, if we will do the same today, we are well equipped to meet that foe. And I believe that's the idea of Ephesians chapter 6, where Paul is going to tell us, as he's writing to the Ephesians, in verse 10 and following, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that he's going to discuss and enumerate here in that chapter. Put on that whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take upon you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. You see, we may face a foe that is very powerful. We're fighting in a spiritual battle. But he says, as we're fighting on God's side, as we're part of His army, he says, we have everything that we need. We are well equipped to be successful in this conflict. Just as Gideon's army went forth obedient unto God and were successful, we need to have that same idea and that same mindset even today. God has well equipped us. He's given us His Word. He's given us all that we need to be able to stand against that foe. And so Paul says, put on that whole armor of God. You're going to have to decide to do that. You're going to have to decide to put it on, to equip yourself with it, but He's provided it for us. You're going to have to decide to stand, but He's given us the strength wherein we can stand. If you're obedient unto His will, there's no question when we look at verses such as 2 Timothy 4, verse 6 through 8, Revelation chapter 2, verse 10, so many others, that those that are faithful to the ends of their life, even willing to give of their own lives, shall receive a crown of righteousness, a crown of eternal life, a reward in heaven with God and with the faithful forever and ever. That's the army that I want to be a part of, and hopefully it's an army that you do as well. Hopefully it's an army that we are a part of and are continuing faithfully. One that is willing to be brave and courageous, even in the face of a great challenge that is before us, to take the gospel into all of the world. one that is brave and courageous, even in the face of the challenge of remaining faithful against the temptations and the struggles and the trials of this world. One that is also then alert, watching out for those challenges, and one that is obedient, that's going to walk with God, that's going to take Him at His word, one that is going to desire to serve and honor Him and look forward to that eternal reward with Him in heaven. It's a simple enlistment. We hear His word and we believe it. We repent of our sins and walk after them no more. We turn and we follow His will. We confess that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. We are immersed or baptized in water for the remission of our sins. We're added unto that body that's fighting that spiritual warfare. That body, though, He has promised to save. Just as He guaranteed Gideon the victory as he walked according to His will, He has guaranteed us the victory as well. That should give us great courage, should give us strength as we live our own lives faithfully. It also should give us courage, strength, and conviction to go forth in the world and to tell others about how they can fight on that right side as well. Maybe even there's someone here tonight that was a member of that army that simply has given up or quit, has other struggles or trials that they're going through, and yet once again wants to be renewed and restored to that body, continuing faithfully as we go through life. Whatever that decision might be, if you can make that correction, if you're subject to that invitation, won't you come? Even now, let it be known as together we stand and sing.